the Almost Perfect Podcast.
Welcome to the Almost Perfect Podcast, a celebration of fuck-ups, failures, and falling flat on your face. This is a podcast that believes you can learn from experience, but that experience doesn't have to be your own. Ha, I'm but perfect, and I'm a functional fuck-up. Let's learn from somebody else's mistakes. And today we are learning from Bala Weinster. Yeah, our first third-time guest, our first, first trifecta on the Almost Perfect Podcast. And I'm not gonna lie, this is another one of those ones where it was just like, you know what, I haven't heard from this person for a while. I want to know how they're doing. So yeah, I saw Weinster has a track coming out tonight called ASMR. If you watched MTV Bass last night, you would have been able to catch the premiere of that, the IRL premiere, but the URL premiere will be tonight at 7 o'clock. So we chat about that. We chat about all the changes in Weinster's life since we last spoke, and things are different. Man's be trying to get in some threesomes. It's something we chat about. I kind of maintain that a threesome was never on the cards. Judging by the story he tells, but I'll let him tell the story in just a little bit. But yeah, we talk about his more sensual side, because ASMR is a sexy song, and yeah, there's a lot of innuendo, a lot of silliness before we get into the realities of being an independent artist, of having his own label, of wearing the many different hats that he wears as a designer, as a rapper, and then, yeah, as a creative director, I guess, as well. So there's a lot going on in Bala Weinster's life, and you're going to get to hear about it in just a little bit. Of course, I need to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by you over at patreon.com/almostperfect, where you can subscribe for as little as $1 a month. There's a few different tiers there. There's different benefits to each tier. But yeah, you can go check that out for yourself if you want to support. You can also buy a mug there, 100 Rand each. 10 Rand from each sale goes to Sasonke. Sasonke is an organization working to decriminalize sex work. They are for sex workers, by sex workers. You can check them out over at sasonke.org.za. And I'm also selling t-shirts. Yeah, we got t-shirts as well. So they're 150 Rand each, and 90 Rand is the price for delivery, depending on where you live. It might be like in the 140, 150 range if you're in the sticks, but if you're somewhere reasonable for delivery people to get to, that'll be 90 Rand delivery. I've got a deal going on. I don't have a deal. I've just got a courier company that I'm working with. But yeah, hit me up, bob@almostperfect.co.za, if you'd like to buy those things. I'll remind you on social media soon enough. I know that's something that I need to do. Like, I gotta keep posting, keep reminding people, keep doing the things. But as you'll hear in this chat, I'm like, I'm so over that shit. But I'm going to keep doing it, or else how the fuck are you meant to know that I'm doing this? But like, you already knew, probably, if you've subscribed and you know about it. But like, it's the getting new people, the getting more people, the growing aspect of all of this that gets frustrating, because it's like, it's just this constant fucking churn of like having to post about things on fucking social media. And, you know, Not feeling it at the moment. Just really not into that thing. But it's a part of the game. And I will probably, yeah, be posting things on social media soon for you to see, so that you can like them and then follow links and buy things and use the sales funnel, you know? Fuck. Oh, what a mess. I've applied for jobs. I've been applying for jobs lately. That's something I've been doing. Mostly copywriting things, but I also applied for an event management position today, which I'm actually hoping I get, because it would be cool to hang out with people again. Like, I'm kind of tired of sitting at home writing things. Like, I've been writing my own things lately, and that's been cool, but, like, it would be cool for my income to come from something other than having to think of words. Just for a bit, like, maybe. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, trying to do some different shit, because living in a pandemic has been interesting, to put it very fucking mildly. Like, it is, yeah, I've done the things, I've tried my best, I've also gone through other things through that pandemic, so, yeah, it would be interesting to do something where I get to constantly be out, and obviously stand-up comedy is one of those things, but I don't know, like, the earning potential for stand-up comedy, if we're being real, is not that high. Like, I mean, depending, like, listen to some of these conversations, like, you listen to the Lisa Gawler conversation, yeah, very different perspective to some of what Eric Jansen was saying last week, you know, and I don't know, I think I'm closer to Eric Jansen than I am to Lisa Gawler, if I'm being completely honest with you, you know, I don't have any TV credits though, so I'm still pretty far away from either of them, if we're keeping it 100, but... Yeah, we'll get there. Fuck. Probably going to be doing a show soon, actually. Well, pretty much definitely doing a show on the 30th of October at Fulham Coffee. We're going to be doing it out on the sidewalk there to whoever shows up. So if there's some old grannies drinking coffee, then we're going to be doing comedy to them. It's going to be a PG show, which is, I think, the first time I'm doing that. I don't think I've ever done a PG show, but gonna play to the room, as they say. And I think it's gonna be a fun challenge. It's gonna be interesting trying to either change some jokes to fit it, or just, yeah, find which jokes already are within that realm. And then I have been trying to write as well. So, cool writing challenge, I guess. And just, I want some stage time, and it seems pretty low stakes to do that. So come on over, check out some low stakes stand-up comedy at Fulham Coffee on the 30th of October. And yeah, that's going to be fun. Abby Hudson's going to be joining me. Akhil Maharaj is as well. Not that Akhil Maharaj, the other Akhil Maharaj. Oh, fuck. I can't believe I actually did that. Like, I was thinking whether or not I should beforehand, but yeah, there's two Akhil Maharajas on the stand-up comedy scene, and I've always said that they should fight it out. I think they roast battled each other. Can't remember what they did, but whichever one, like, you think would have won the roast battle, that one's not the one performing, it's the other one. It's the one who always talks about how shit his life is. So, we have a lot in common, but yeah, gonna put it out there to some other comedians as well. If you're listening to this and you're a comedian in Durban, hit me up, bobatalmostperfect.co.za. But yeah, just PG open mic vibes, come try out some material, and I'll message some people who have already messaged me, because I put some things out there on the internet already saying, hey, if you want to do some comedy, let me know. I've also got a show at a house, at an ex-guest house, actually, that is in the works. That'll be sometime next month. So I will let you know when that is happening, and you can come watch some less PG stand-up comedy at an ex-guest of the Almost Perfect Podcast's house. It's an inviting proposition, but I actually think it's going to be a really cool space to do things in, and we'll probably do quite a lot of shows there going forward. Whether or not the first one works out, like, whether there's five people that show up to the first one or not, I'm definitely going to do it again, and then probably again and again, and then eventually it'll probably be a thing, and then I'm probably going to, like, move from Durban, and you'll never see me again. So enjoy those times that we have, is essentially what I'm trying to say there. Anyway, that brings us to the shout-out section of the podcast over the $10 tier. So, titular titles tier, over at patreon.com/almostperfect. You can pick your title right here on the Almost Perfect podcast. And that means I got to shout you out every single week. It's $10, like I said. It's the $10 titular titles tier. It's alliteration. Shout outs to the shot callers, the big ballers. Russell Grant, who is our Far East correspondent. Shout outs to Karan Chetty, the assistant to the regional manager. Shout outs to Kath Jenkin, the inevitable ruler of the universe, and Queen Swifty. Shout outs to Karan Sleman, the almost perfect hedge fund manager. Shout outs to our pantsless weasel, that is Tyron Love. Shout outs to our key grip, Neil Green, who is also due for a catch up call on this podcast. So look out for that. As soon as he's done some shows in Ireland, we're going to chat about that. So if you know anyone in Ireland who is doing an open mic gig, or maybe even some paid slots, tell us to get in touch with Neil Green. Shout out to our Chief Sales Officer of Subtle Heresies in the Greater Oberberg Region, Rousseau. Shout outs to our Executive Producer, Stephen Olafier. Shout outs to Vishendra Naidu, our Spiritual Advisor. Shout outs to Julian, who is the king. Shout outs to our Director of Purchasing, and that is Riz Ventura. And lastly, shout outs to our anonymous benefactor. Oh yeah, I'm also going to let you know, whether you sign up at $1, $5, and $10, I will send you a pack of Almost Perfect stickers just to say thank you if you sign up to the Almost Perfect Patreon. So that's, you know, just a little extra cheese on top of the burger there. So I hope that's the thing that makes you go, you know what? Today's the day. I go to patreon.com/almostperfect. And with that out the fucking way, it is now time for the Almost Perfect podcast with Bala Wanster. So how are you living, Bala Wanster?
I am fantastic, bro. You know? And that's an honest answer. Lately, I've been really thinking about the answers, like, before I give them. But, you know, I've been fantastic.
Yeah, use some vocabulary
the last
there.
Couple of like, days. And it's been in my vocab as of the last couple of months, so I think it's legit. You know, I feel fantastic, bro. I'm living quite all right, you know, as far as living goes, but I'm feeling good every day, really.
That's right. It seems like it. I mean, it seems, especially, I mean, you know, you never really know with social media, like, you know, we're all projecting some sort of reality.
Yes,
but like,
yeah.
You know, like, it does seem like you're feeling pretty good about your upcoming release. So yeah, well, tell me about it.
What can I say about
well,
this
Friday?
Release?
Let's start with ASMR, and then we'll get into Spajonga.
Okay, cool.
Chapter 3.
Okay, sweet. So I mean, the upcoming release is ASMR. It's a single off of Spajonga Chapter 3. And yeah, this is the first time I've ever given a single, you know, the normal Bylonster rollout treatment. You know, like, it's always been something I reserved for projects for no real reason other than the fact that, you know, I've always felt like I'm more of a project artist, you know. Every track, you know, heard in context, you know, is the best way I want people to experience it. So releasing a single would always kind of introduce people to the music outside of the context. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't like not being able to, quote unquote, defend certain things. And, you know, I'm at a place where I don't feel like I need to defend it. But, you know, if the idea is to create a narrative-driven body of work, and you completely miss it when the single comes out, you know, it always annoyed me. But then, I don't know, things were a bit different with this single. And, you know, I teased it back in April. You know, I just kind of dropped a video of me jamming to it. And people just started, like, asking for it. You know, asking for it was, people were like, yeah, there was crazy excitement. And we're in October now, and it's only coming out now. But it's only because, you know, I insisted, okay, cool, if you guys want this thing, let me make it special for you. And by making it special, that means, you know, going through the rollout, everything, touching on all the touch points, you know, looking at my previous efforts when it comes to rollouts and thinking, how do I improve on this? So, you know, from April till now, you know, it's been foreplay, you know. Well, foreplay only really started because it was just, you know, flirting in the beginning, and now there was foreplay with these rollout assets. Like, yo, I like you. And now it's like, okay, cool. Can you put it in now? And I was like, okay, cool. Let me put it in October. So ASMR, I mean, even that analogy, bro, that whole sexual innuendo is very much related to the ASMR, the song. It's quite a sexually driven song, which speaks to just, you know, my sexual frustration, I guess. But other than that, it's
that's honest. I like it.
It's perfect. Yeah, man. I mean, yeah. First, like as soon as it hit me, I think I was sent a beat. It was originally a collab that kind of started the song, and then first words that came to me when this beat came were like the words I start off with on ASMR, and it just took that PG-18 route, and I was like, damn, okay, you know, clearly I've been wanting you know there to is no offload.
PG-18, right?
Really? What did they change it to? Oh, wait, no, it's M, isn't it?
Well, there's never been PG-18 because it's PG-16. I mean, if you're 18, you're an adult already. You're an adult if you're 18.
Oh, okay. So wait, okay. No, that... Yeah,
you can
okay,
just go into the movies. Like, no.
I mean, listen, so that was actually how it was articulated to me. Like when I sent the verse, bro, I was told... Well, at first, I gave them, like, I think halfway through writing, I told them, hey, so the verse is kind of taking this turn. And they're like, oh, wow, cool. Well, let's make it a threesome, because it was myself, her, and another rapper. So there was going to be three of us. I'll keep her unnamed
just,
for now.
You're just enjoying the innuendo, aren't you?
Bro, I love it. I love it, you know. And I'm not even the type to just randomly make, like, sex jokes. Like,
you're know, like an open mic, like, comedian.
I like that, you know. So yeah, man, so we're here now about to stick it in, and you know, people have been ready, they've been excited, aroused, and you know, now we're about to drop it on them. And you know, I teased the color, well, not the color palette, I reskinned my whole social media last week as like a cryptic message to, oh shit, something's about to happen. And then gradually I'd start introducing like the Durex inspired logo type for the song, and then suddenly the features. So just gradually, you know, working my way into this clitoris. And then getting to a point where it's, you know, cool. I think it's lubricated enough. Let's stick it in. You know, now we're doing that on Friday.
So on Friday, so you're going to blow your load.
Yeah. Yes, that's definitely what's going to happen. But because, you know, it's while it's very sexual, I like to think it's very tasteful. So we're both blowing up.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't get that from everything you've been saying.
What? You think it's one-sided?
No, the tasteful part.
Oh, okay. No. Honestly, listen, bro, like considering like, you know, the genre that I guess I quote unquote belong to, you know, this is as tasteful as it could get, you know. When you hear sexual related things in hip hop, you know, it's never tasteful. So I like to think it was like, okay, cool, something you can play at a restaurant, you know, and have a good time to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is like kind of slow jams.
Yes, actually, you know what, bro? You know what? I was listening to that earlier, and yeah, actually, you know what, bro? Fuck. That's actually so dope that you brought that up. I've been, when I think about ASMR, I was listening to a lot of College Dropout, you know, I've got the CD in my car, and I was just listening to it because I think I just wanted a change of, I think it previously, and I think I was changing between Black Album by Jay-Z, because what I do when I hop into my car, I, based on where I'm going, I'll choose a CD. You know, so if I've got like a meeting with somebody who could possibly host, you know, my listening session or host my music video premiere, I'm going to put in the Jay-Z CD, you know, because he speaks, you know, from the perspective of, you know, a artist entrepreneur, you know, a CEO. So I need that energy. And I think I attended another Lurie's. If I need to.
I was going to say, yeah, if you need to pick up a bag of Coke, you'll put on Blueprint or just some push of pee.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, that's literally how it is, bro. I need to be ready. And, like, I'll sit in the car, bro. Like, I've started the car, but I'll spend maybe 2 minutes and waste my petrol well, if I ever figured out which CD I want to go out of the yard in. So I have College Dropout in there right now because, I don't know, I feel like that's obviously Kanye's first major release, if I'm not mistaken. So I really kind of, you know, wanted to be where he was specifically in that mind state. And then I also went to Drake's So Far Gone. There's another song called Say You Will. And it spoke to so much that's been happening to me. You know, there's a particular line where he says, and Sylvia be telling Taz, damn, Drake fly. And he just be like, silly motherfucker, I know. That was your bad. How could you pass up on him? And I like that because, you know, as of the last 6 months, people have been passing up on me, bro. I feel like I've been doing such dope shit, as in like behind the scenes, putting together these pitch decks, out like explaining what the entire rollout is. And, you know, I don't think my numbers suck, but they're not like amazing numbers. But you mean, I've given you the fucking, you know, the blueprint of this whole shit, and you don't want to fuck with me? So, you know, there's a lot that I was like, okay, cool. You know, unfortunately, well, that actually brings up, I regret.
Yeah, like a bit of an interesting topic, I guess. Like, you know, you've been an independent artist for so long. Like, are you now looking towards, you know, getting signed and trying to actually get some finances behind these rollouts? Because you've always had these cool creative ideas and you've managed to make things work, you know, on a fairly limited budget. So what's your mindset with regards to that?
So for me, the next step, you know, from being independent, I mean, the previous step was unsigned. And then when you go to independent, that's a mental, you know, mind shift where you decide, okay, when you're unsigned,
I'm making money now.
Yeah, I mean, that, and also just the fact that when, if you're unsigned, you're hoping to get signed, because all that needs to happen is that UN in the beginning of the word needs to disappear. And that's like the intention. But when you're independent, you've made a conscious decision to be independent, to, you know, carve out your own way. So for me, the next step is not to be signed, but rather, like, over the last 3 years, I've been refining the structures at my own, you know, record label and creative agency, Normal. You know, so, like, there's a lot of things that Normal is facilitating on my behalf, like conversations, meetings, and, you know, budget, you know. Like, this last rollout, completely funded by Normal. You know, like, Normal has the creative agency side that just is like the sweatshop, I guess, where, you know, like, if Balwanster has a rollout, Balwanster has a vision or something he wants to execute, a music video and whatnot, we go and visit the sweatshop and tell them, yo, you guys need to work faster because we need budget and stuff like that. So we're like servicing festivals, you know, like Diff, Poetry Africa, just, you know, helping out with the social media campaigns and art direction. And, you know, just doing our time, you know, doing our time, because at the end of that is a check that's going to kind of fund the next project, the next music video and whatnot. So, you know, like, the need for a major label is kind of, you know, lessening for me, particularly. Not to say that they're completely redundant and useless to me, but the conversation I'd be having with them is more of a partnership, you know, where it says, okay, cool, in-house, we are able to do this, create this, do this, develop this and whatnot. What we want for you is access from you is access to, one, your infrastructure, two, your budget, you know, but it's not budget that contributes to, you know, the creative, the art being, you know, the music and the artist development. Rather, it speaks to the packaging, you know, the rollouts. You know, I have rollout dreams, you know, like things I want to do that are just out of my budget. But with this past release, Bob, like, or rather this coming release, this is, I feel like I mean, looking back at my previous rollouts, I've really, you know, leveled up. I've gone to the next level, basically.
I think one up.
Yeah.
Like, what, one is, up? Yeah. Especially because it's just reminding me of an under 18 club that used to be here in Durban, that a group of friends and I, we used to pool our money together and we would buy booze. Yeah. Like, we were like 13, 14, and one person would pay to get in and get the stamp and then come out and double stamp, and we'd all just be super hammered. Like, anyway.
Sure. Bro, you started drinking at 13, you say?
I started drinking quickly, younger than that. Like, to be completely honest.
You know when I started drinking?
I'm from Ambilo, dude. Like, it's like it, like no one in Ambilo would even bat an eyelid at me saying that. Like, there's just there's certain parts of the world where certain things are a little bit more normal than others.
Sure. Do you know when I started drinking, bro?
When you're 18.
Nah, dog.
I don't know. I thought you might be a fuck off. For real.
No, I promise you, bro. October 2020, I ordered a Long Island iced tea.
Oh, that's a hell of a drink to start with.
Right?
I mean, I used to love those when like was two for those two for the price of one on Joe Cool's on a Sunday. Yeah. So I used to like start off with like two of those. So trust me, I know all about Long Island iced teas. God.
Bro, I think I've had about like six ever since then. And it wasn't until the sixth one where it fucked me up. Literally, I almost talked myself into a threesome.
Wait, did you have six in a row? I mean, you don't need to talk yourself
into a threesome.
Like, you don't need to talk yourself into a threesome. Like, what do you mean? Like, that's cool. Like, is everyone here saying yes? Like, then you're fine. Like, there's
No, here's what happened. So I didn't have six in a row. I remember the day I started was I had two, and then maybe a month later I had one or whatever. Then up, I know I had my sixth one, like maybe 2 months ago. And that one, I mean, that could have been spiked, you know, if I really think about it, because that fucked me up. You know,
but it was like a proper Long Island, super energetic.
I was
gonna say that could have actually been the first like real Long Island you had. All the others were like half shots.
Oh, I see. Okay, now that makes perfect sense. Which is why I haven't gone back since, because that was crazy. But yeah, sorry, I was just when you brought up
and then what happened with.
Oh, so like I was at like at another restaurant in Melville with two of my friends, and then I noticed another girl I had met at another gig, and I went to go say hi, and I was just so, you know, enthusiastic and happy. So I stood by their table, just talking to them, talking all sorts of like, you know, funny shit, I guess. And then they said, "Yo, dude, have a shot with us." I was like, "Oh, okay, let's do that." And they said, "Sit down." And I started talking, and then these sexual innuendos started coming out of my mouth. And, you know, they found it quite entertaining. And then, you know, I was just like, oh, yep, yeah, she wants to fuck me. And that's what I said to her. And then she just laughed. And I was like, oh, shit. And then next thing you know, me and her friend are holding a bottle of wine together. And, like, our hands are on top of each other's hands. And we're talking. And I was like, also, your friend's hand is on mine. I think we should probably do this, the three of us. And then she said something along the lines of, "You're not me and my friend." I was like, "Well, fine, maybe one day. I don't know. Bro, it was such a mess.
Wow. And then, so you had two drinks in you, and you're like fucking Lothario here.
I don't know, but you know, yeah, it's cool. It's one of my I almost called it a war story. But it was quite entertaining.
I like how you start that with like you had to like, yeah, like, you know, talk your way into a threesome, whatever. But like, there was never actually a threesome on the cards.
I mean, not until I brought it up, I guess. And it was just a matter of us kind of deciding where we're going after this, you know.
So it actually did get to the point.
I mean, listen, like, yeah, but. And it was like, okay, cool, guys. Let me go back to my friends because I came with them and I'll chat to you guys later. Oh, we'll be here. I was like, cool. So we went to go eat somewhere. And then I came back and the girls were gone. And then I got home and I got a DM saying, "Yo, we're at this place. So we're waiting on you." I was like, oh, shit. And at this point, I changed my mind.
So have you written a song about this? Is ASMR about this?
No, not yet. No, but also ASMR is possibly the same energy that was possible.
I mean, it sounds like it.
Moments. Yeah, man. I mean, it's definitely it. It's like, I mean, the whole idea of ASMR is like, you know, I use it as a metaphor for just like intimacy. Like, I mean, ASMR is pretty intimate in a sense where when you hear those chewy noises, those whispers, you can only really hear them like that in real life if somebody is right up in your face, which is an intimate moment if you think about it. You know, like you can't just let anyone be up in your face like that. So it's uncomfortable and off-putting for a lot of people for obvious reasons. So I just kind of made a metaphor like for, you know, some of the things that come out my mouth sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, cool. Listen, can I
put it's uncomfortable.
You know, shit like that. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? But so it's like ASMRing. I'm externalizing these thoughts in my mind that would have obviously just stayed in my mind otherwise if they didn't go through my mouth. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, it's not a confession per se, but it's like, you know what I'm thinking? This is exactly what I'm thinking. You know, you being barefoot is just, I know that's about to sound weird, but, you know, just all sorts of oversharing shit, you know?
So how do your collaborators feel about the themes of the song?
Well, listen, so these were like new collaborators for me. It was actually a new collaborative experience for me completely.
Yeah, was this inspired by your experiences overseas? Because I know, like, when you were in America, like, you joined up with that big band and, like, started collaborating a bit there. So did that, like, kind of seed, like, the ideas for this or...?
As in, like, for the song or just for the approach to collaboration?
Well, both, you know? Like, being more open to collaboration and then leading to this.
Yeah, I mean, I think even from the last conversation we had, I think I spoke about that trip to the US and how uncomfortable I was. As in, but, like, outside of my comfort zone. Not so much like, I hate it here, but it was like, fuck. Like, how long do I have to pretend, like, this shit is for me or that I deserve to be here. So there was a lot of discomfort, but like you hit the nail right on the head. Like that US trip really, 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 really opened me up to collaboration outside of just studio stuff, just being a person who is aware of the value of a community, you know. But with this particular collaboration, I think it came to me very naturally, the ability to just, you know, facilitate a collaborative environment, to have people I've never met before come through to sessions and whatnot. So definitely that US trip, bro, shout out to One Beat, man. I think I just needed to process so much that I had just gone through that side. And now the microwave went quing or whatever the fuck the sound makes, but like it's done cooking. And, you know, I can feel that I'm able to be in these collaborative situations. So that's definitely true, bro. And then as far as the song itself, funny enough, it was like the my verse anyway. Like it was inspired by an interaction I had in Berlin in 2019. I met a friend there, and then we hung out. You know, it was platonic. We went to her place, and we just smoked a joint. We spoke by her balcony. She was barefoot, and I was chilled. You know, she was comfortable. You know, that was dope. I was comfortable, and then we went and hung out with everybody else. And then she's the same person who asked me for this verse. And then as soon as she asked me for this verse, my mind just went back to that hangout that we had. And I just kind of turned it into, you know, something that it could have been had, you know, we been intentional about, you know, our desires, if any, you know, because at the time I was in my relationship and she was also in a relationship. So I just kind of, you know, hey, let me go and revisit that story. And, you know,
I'm kind of living that story in a weird way.
Who, you?
Yeah. Like, Paige is kind of the girl that, like, I met when I was dating someone else. And then, person broke up with me. And then Paige and I got together. So, in a weird way, I'm living in your alternate reality.
Except you actually got to see it through, man.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm living in the alternate reality. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, as soon as the verse came in, bro, I feel like I'm very much excusing the fact that these thoughts had to have come from somewhere, you know, because, like, not to say that when we were in our moment, I was kind of thinking about all these things, but when
I know what back, you mean.
Outside of the relationship, yeah, I mean, and it's mainly because, you know, when I was in my relationship, you know, for 6 years, nothing else mattered. No other woman mattered. Like, no thoughts could get through the strainer that was my relationship. Like, everything that tried to go through would get, like, lasered on some, nope, you are not a thought that is going to contribute anything positive to this relationship, so fuck off. So
yeah, but once but the relationship is over, of this, you then think back. Like, that's the kind, that's exactly what happened for me, at least, was, like, you know, I was in this relationship, and, like, yeah, like, when Paige and I met, like, we were just hanging out. We were totally cool. Like, there was no, like, there was no flirting or anything like that, you know? And that's what made it cool, was just, like, we were just hanging out. And then, I got dumped, and I was oh, yeah, that was this really rad, like, person who I was hanging out with. Wonder what they're doing, you know? And then hit her up, like, you know, since then, everything's gone the way it's gone. But, like, yeah, that's the thing. It's one of those things where it's, like, it wasn't a thing of when we met that I was, like, oh, yeah, I need to store this in the memory bank, or, like, oh, I'm going to try and, like, hook up here or anything. It, like, was just, like, this is a rad person. Like, we're having a cool time together. And then, when you're out of a relationship, you can think back on, like, those times you had with other people and go, huh, I wonder wonder what's there, like, you know, that we could explore now.
Yeah. No, that's that, that. I'm glad, like, you've kind of made sense of it, bro, because I was trying to figure out if, am I in denial? You know, am I convinced about what I'm saying? But yeah, bro, I mean, just after, you know, that unfortunate end of that relationship I was in, there's a lot of shit that I looked back on and I realized, fuck, I am, you know, okay, let me kind of rethink about how to best phrase this. I was going to say, I don't know.
You're like, sure, what do you mean, speaking about, like, I mean, we're all wanting threesomes, and now you're trying to, like, find your words.
I mean, listen, it does touch back to that, but it's like, as a being, there's a lot of sexual energy that kind of, you know, that I kind of acknowledged past that relationship, you know, because a lot of, like, we obviously experienced lockdown. I'd visit her a lot in Durban and whatnot. Now there's no opportunity. Not to say I'm going down to bust a nut, but, you know, that is my person, and we would get intimate and whatnot. But now, like, I'm literally in Joburg, stuck, and, you know, that obviously contributed to the eventual end of the relationship. I think the distance took its toll. But then after that, bro, not to say, like, my nutsack was full, but, you know, the nutsack in my heart
not
was
to
full.
Say that, but that's what you're saying.
But listen, also apply it as the metaphor, bro. Like, not to say the nut, because, I mean, listen, I haven't added, I guess I've only added, like, two, you know, counts to my body count since then, and that's very small, like, considering it's been almost a year since,
probably within the average, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, bro, I mean, I've always been, well, I was a late bloomer, but, you know, I'm also very specific, bro. Like, I prefer my sex in a relationship as opposed to casual, but also I don't want to be in a relationship right now because I feel like I love so hard, bro. Oh my gosh, where are we fucking going with this conversation?
You're leading here, so you tell me.
Stop me. I think, what is the question?
I don't even know. Like, we've gone so far beyond the question at this point. Yeah. Like, it's now just a conversation. Yeah.
I mean, this is us.
The distance got in the way, and you've now had to explore other aspects of love, or love with other people, or not even just love, just sex and those sorts of things. And so, is that what Spajanga Chapter 3 is about?
I mean, it doesn't. I guess this song is that part of Chapter 3, you know, on its own.
Okay.
There's a lot that Chapter 3 explores. I think out of the three chapters, Chapter 1, Chapter 2, I think it might be the most cohesive conceptually, or rather because I know chapter two was dope because it starts off with me, you know, having moved to Joburg, figuring out what am I, a rapper, a graphic designer, because I've moved to Joburg to kind of get closer to a record label so I can offer creative and art, an art direction to their artists. And then suddenly I get distracted by the fact that people are recognizing me as the artist. And then I decide to jump ship and just do the music thing. Now I'm in Joburg. And then Joburg has Park Station. I get mugged at gunpoint at Park Station. 2 months later, I need to be in Berlin, ride a bike in Berlin, feel better, come back. Oh shit, I'm in a long distance relationship. And am I okay? I mean, I'm doing this for, I don't want to say us as if like, ah, fuck, I was, you know, every time I did some dope shit, like buy groceries and or buy a couch, I was like, can't wait till we're doing this together. You know, so there's a lot, like it was cohesive in the sense where that was the train of thought and the feelings at the time. But
building towards
chapter
the future.
Three, yeah, exactly. That was like what the idea when you get to like the last track, which is okay, fine, on chapter two. But then when you come to chapter three, there's a lot of growing up that's happened, bro. I mean, I think this episode might be the one that I actually listened back to because, you know, I kind of like how I sound right now for some reason. Whereas the ones we did, I don't know, I'll listen back to them. But yo, bro, I used to cringe so hard at just like anything that I was recorded doing if it wasn't something I did like seven takes for, you know. But this one, I feel like, so this me wanting to listen back to just this conversation so far at 29 minutes, like speaks to the energy that I'm approaching chapter three with, you know, or that I've approached chapter three with, the Lwandile of chapter three, the Balwanster of chapter three, the normal of chapter three. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I'm very much, you know, yeah, I don't know, my head is in like a more less shaky place than it was in the previous chapter specifically. You know,
well, do you think the pandemic has hardened you and like moving to Joburg? Sorry, yeah. Do you think partially the pandemic and then partially moving to Joburg has hardened you a bit?
I think it's mainly moving to Joburg. Like, I think the pandemic itself, maybe I'm in a privileged place, but it feels very much in the periphery of everything that's happening in my life. You know, I was working from home before everybody was working from home. So I was very much not that affected. It just sucked that it happened a week or a couple of weeks right after we dropped chapter two, like the first lockdown. So those plans were kind of thwarted. But yeah, so, but I mean, I was working from home, bro, and I was so blessed enough to kind of get work during this time. I worked on a couple, you know, COVID-19 campaigns in social media, like PR campaigns where we're turning some radio content into posters that people can use to share with their family groups who are, you know, sharing spam or like false stuff, you know, just to let them know that, yo, this and that. So that was cool, bro. For like that year, 2020, I was just working, bro. I was working, doing my time. And I was working from home. So as far as the pandemic itself, there was very little interference or like, you know, influence on anything else.
Well, I mean, surely not being able to perform live, like, had its effect on you, didn't it? Because you were someone who, you know, liked to get out there and perform.
Yeah. I mean, I really did. Like, you know, I guess I just wasn't doing it as often as I would have liked to a point where, like, if I'm performing like once a month, you know, because I was still pretty new to Joburg as well. So I was still figuring out who's who, what's what. So I hadn't really gotten to a place where I was performing frequently and my main stream of income was compromised, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that sucked. But also, I had a dope performance just before the lockdown happened. It was at UMI, a festival called UMI. This is after chapter two drop. So yeah, I mean, performances were dope, you know, I missed them. Yeah. But
you managed to keep going.
I don't know, bro. Yeah. I managed to keep going. Design held me down. You know, I managed to get a car out of it.
Oh, snap.
Managed to get like a second laptop. Yeah, bro. I got me a beautiful, cute Corsa Light. I've always wanted a Corsa Light since I moved to Durban.
You really have. Like you mentioned that to me years ago.
No, bro, like I loved that vehicle and now it's mine, you know. So that's dope. So that's just like I did my time, bro. And you know, yeah, the lockdown played a role in that, but you know, I don't think it was too negative. But
Joburg?
The first part of the question you are. Oh, yes, Joburg. Yo, bro, Joburg has really fucked me up, man. I will not lie. And I don't mean like in the, you know, like I don't want to talk shit about Joburg because honestly, bro, I love it here. I really love it here in Joburg right now. I don't see myself anywhere else longer than, you know, I am in Joburg. If it's not, you know, in New York, which is hectic. So I'm like, it's crazy. Yeah. Some of the stories I was hearing about New York from the musicians that side, it's cutthroat, it's brutal.
And it's also, it's not like the New York that like, you know, about like from the 80s and like, you know, like, I don't know, maybe yeah. Joburg is actually more like a New York in the 80s than like New York is now. Like there's probably more opportunity like in Joburg.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, actually.
Yeah. I mean, bro, listen, just like being present in certain spaces, you know, opportunity is just lurking there, you know, and being a social person and a person who enjoys having a good time is all like has really come through for me a lot. Just being able to be in these spaces and being keen to be in these spaces, knowing that like a big part of the work that I'm doing with, you know, as a musician requires me to be present, you know, to come to mind, you know, hence the rollouts and all these things. All these things are efforts to make sure, you know, I come to mind when like the decisions that are not in my control are being made. You know, I don't want to ever feel like I have to depend on other people, but I know what I'm doing when I do my rollouts. It's PR for me. It's, you know, I don't know if you've watched that movie, bro, Focus, with Will Smith and Margot Robbie.
I don't know if I've seen it, actually.
So they're scam artists and like they pickpocket, they scam and whatnot. But you must go check it out after this chat because it's an analogy. Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, it's
all, you can
it's
spoil all, it for me. Right. I mean, spoiler alert for everyone else. But yeah, tell us what happens.
It's just one scene that I want to like refer to. So these guys are so smart, bro, and they're scamming that, you know, it's very mental how they approach it. So there's a scene where they're at a football game and they're in one of the VIP stands and there's a tycoon guy who loves to gamble, right? And now Will Smith and Margot Robbie are sitting there and Margot Robbie thinks they're just going to watch a football match. And Will Smith obviously knows what he's here for. So they're sitting not too far from this guy. And then they start betting like, hey, what's that?
I actually think I have seen this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Is it ringing a bell?
Yeah. But sorry, carry on.
Okay, cool. So now what happens is they start betting between the two of them. Like, yo, that guy's going to score. If or whatever the bet is, but like, you know, he gets it right, she gets it wrong, she gets it right, he gets it wrong and whatnot. And then from a distance, you can see this guy is kind of like, hey, this looks like fun. And then he kind of like throws himself like, hey, can I play? And then Wilson is just like, okay, sure. Acting like he's not in on this, but yeah, then he played. Now suddenly Wilson starts playing with this guy, bro. And he wins a couple of times and this guy wins. And then the stakes keep getting higher, bro, and higher as this scene progresses. And, you know, you almost start cringing like, fuck, like this guy keeps losing. And then she's now, Margot Robbie is like panicking on some, dude, can you just stop betting now? Can we fuck off?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we go? You know what I mean? Exactly. And then he's like, he's walking to the door and she's like, fuck. And he suddenly stands and she's like, no. And then he turns around.
One more.
Five. I'm just going to pull out a number like 1 million or something. Then this guy's like, you are crazy, but let's do it. You know, and whatnot. Double or nothing or blah, 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 blah. And then now, because now this is where the stakes are super high. So he says, you know what? You choose a footballer on this field, choose the number on their back. And then Margot Robbie is going to guess. And then she's like, what the fuck? Don't drag me into this. Are you fucking crazy? How am I going to read this guy's fucking mind? You know?
Meanwhile, they've been seeding it the whole time.
Like, bro, listen. So then, like he says, just trust me. And then like the guy looks and he chooses his number. And then he says he tells her to go guess and whatnot. So she looks around the field. And then she sees a guy on her team, on their team. Big guy. He's got the number 55 on his back. Then she's like, oh my God. And she's like, okay, I know the number. And then Then she says 55, and he's like, he smiles at her as if she got it wrong. He's like, how did you fucking know? Blah, 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 blah. So she got it right. And how they did that the whole fucking day or the whole fucking week leading up to that betting thing or whatever was happening in town, they kept putting this number 55, you know, in this guy's periphery everywhere, bro, from like chandeliers to the songs playing, constantly saying 55, 55. All, so they were doing like such subconscious branding around this guy to a point where as soon as he saw the number 55 on that back, it was familiar to him and his mind gravitated. It's like, fuck, there's my number. He didn't know why he was gravitating to it, but he did. So,
this is why you chose Durex as your inspiration for your artwork.
Actually, so that's part of it. You know, it's funny that you say that. I mean, it's funny, but it's also funny that you bring it up because it's part of like the thinking behind why I did that. But a friend of mine, Tebogo Musane, who, you know, is a good friend of mine this side, he was speaking to me. He told me about that scene. And I loved that scene, but he told me about it. And he said, like, think about it, how they got him to do that. So it speaks to branding, bro. So as far as my rollouts, I actually forgot the question, but I'm just going to wrap up this point, and then I guess we'll try to find our way back there. what happens is, as far as branding goes, bro, like, I'm marketing this ASMR single as not a song. I haven't said a word about, yo guys, new song coming out on Friday. Nothing. That's not in any of my copy, in my text, in my anything. I've decided the campaign is called Date Night. You know what I mean? Because, bro, every Friday we're being shoved with songs. Every fucking Friday. Check out this song. Check out this song. No. Now I was like, you know what? Let me make the song be the soundtrack to this fictional date night, which is also the narrative from the music video as well. So it's like, don't be late, because my character's late in the music video. So I've decided, you know what? Let me create an occasion that people can come around to, like something that's normal, that's in our lives already. Like the number 55 is a number that's in the number system or whatever the fuck it's called, you know? Like, and so is like date nights, you know? People call it whatever they want, but you know, I said date night because I'm on a date in the video and whatnot. So let's create something subconscious, let's brand subconscious, let's market this song subconsciously, you know, without, obviously, I'm not trying to manipulate people. I'm just trying to make it something that's consumable in a time where there's music being uploaded every fucking day. Like 50,000 songs are being uploaded every day on Spotify and Apple Music. And how do you stand out? You've got to figure out other ways to kind of, you know, get people into, because now, bro, we're not just competing with other songs, other cover arts. We're competing with, you know, baby pictures. We're competing with otter and puppy memes, all sorts of shit, bro. We're competing with everything. So how do we stand out? You know what I mean? So we just have to create like date night, you know, and let people feel like, oh, okay, cool. This is nice for a change. Something that's very cryptic, but what is it? Oh, shit. There's a song attached, but, you know, he hasn't said anything about the song. I wonder what the fuck is up, you know? So that number 55 is the brown that appeared on my social media for a good week. And I said nothing about what it's about. You know, immediately people now have a color in their mind they can associate. You know what I mean? And the way I kept introducing this stuff, you know, without kind of telling them, yo, 55, it was just like, hey guys, there's this, there's that. And, you know, the people who are onto me are like, oh shit, something's about to happen. Ronce is about to start a rollout and stuff like that. So that's how I like to approach things like those, bro. Like, I personally don't like being sold things. Like, hey guys, check this out. It's so dope, you know. I like to kind of, you know, be immersed in things, you know, hence I still buy CDs because I want to hold them, I want to read them, I want to smell them. If I want, I can taste them, you know what I'm saying? So by creating like an immersive experience, like a date night that my music is just a soundtrack for, you know, granted people are going to play the song, but you know, it's still a soundtrack. Hopefully some people are going to take it and play it on their own date nights and stuff like that. But you know, that's that number 55 analogy was like, you know what? This is how I want to approach shit, you know, like granted it can be used for evil, but you know, I just want to use it to make my shit a little bit more, you know, consumable in a time where we're having all sorts of shit thrown in our mouths and where it's like, hey, chew it. Ah, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of just talking about marketing as a whole there. Like it's the thing that we all struggle with because like even me, like I've like, it's one of the things I hate the most about doing this whole thing. Like, I know you enjoy thinking about it, but I fucking hate it. Like, I love doing the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I love this. No, of course. Like, I love getting to talk to you. I love, like, all of that. And same with, like, comedy. Like, I love getting on stage and doing comedy. But then having to fucking get people through the door is, like, the thing that I hate the most. And it's the same thing with this podcast. It's like, I know this is dope. You know this is dope. The people listening know it's dope. Like, it's just like, how the fuck do I get other people to know it's dope? And like, that's something you've been really good at. But do you not, like, sometimes, like, worry that, like, you know, you're putting all this effort in, you've got such great ideas to actually do this and to, like, get further, you know, to push against the algorithms, essentially. But do you not worry that, like, like, at the same time, it's fucking almost impossible to, like, get beyond the algorithms, especially without, like, paid advertising? And if so, are you going to use paid advertising for your campaigns?
Am I worried about... Sorry, can you repeat that again, bro?
Well, basically, just you know, like... So, like, you know, I always... Like, if I post something on Facebook, if I don't boost the post... Like, it doesn't fucking go anywhere. Like, that's just, like, on Twitter stuff gets some retweets, you know, like, the first time I post it. And, like, you know, Instagram gets some decent likes on that. But, like, Facebook pages, you don't get fuck all. And it's just, like, it's a mission to, like, get people to know about your stuff, like, without paid advertising. So, it's, like, so that's the thing. Like, how much, like, when you're considering all these things, are you, like, thinking, like, well, fuck, like, you know, I'm going to do all of this and the algorithm's going to bury me. And, you know, then do you think, like, well, how much do I have to spend to actually make this work?
Yeah. I mean, listen, bro, like, I rarely consider the algorithm, if I'm to be honest. Like, not to say that my shit is always popping off, but I really consider, I mean, the only thing I'll look at is, okay, cool. What time does Instagram say my people are active? And I only look at that like once, maybe a couple, every couple of months. I mean, listen, bro, I've been studying people a lot, like, as of recent. And when I say studying people, I'm just like studying like what kind of content people like in South Africa. That's stuff that pops off organically. Those people who just get careers out of just being funny. Because I mean, bro, people in South Africa love two things: to dance and to laugh. And that's the content they consume the most. You know what I mean? And not to say that like I'm suddenly gonna start figuring out a dance. I mean, I think I'm a funny guy. You know, so this I feel like I can definitely finesse that. But other than that, I really consider the algorithm like as anything that influences anything other than the time that I post, maybe, but rarely, because sometimes I'll just decide, you know what, because it's date night, it's night, so I'm gonna post this thing in the evening. If my people are active at fucking 12, it doesn't make sense for my narrative, so I'm gonna prioritize the objective that I have creatively first. And then if my people are active mainly 6 to 8, then fuck it, perfect. But if it isn't, I don't care. So what I do, I've been studying people, just looking at people's consumption habits on social media, particularly my people. And whenever I see someone who's this fifth, who has their 15 minutes of fame, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. What gave them this? Oh, they were funny. Oh, and it was obviously something they can't maintain, unfortunately. So it's like, okay, cool. Now, just having that kind of attention to detail when I look at, like, you know, what social media is about, particularly in South Africa, it kind of allows me to kind of figure out how best to position, like, you know, the kind of content I put out. Like, the first bit of content that I put out for ASMR came a day before it was supposed to start. You know, in fact, that content didn't even exist until Adele decided she's going to hijack my release date. Right?
I saw that, yeah.
And I was in bed, bro. I was sleeping. I was sleeping like for like 2 hours. Like, it was midday. I just took a nap. And then I woke up and I see Adele. Oh my God, what the fuck are you doing? You know? And then I decided, okay, there was content I was going to roll out tomorrow. I was like, fuck this. She's forcing my hand. And I was like, you know what? Let me actually make some content that speaks to what just happened. You know? And then I made that whole, dear Adele, I chose the 15th of October first. You know, and people got a huge fucking, you know, what's the word? They found that really funny. You know, they liked it.
And,
you know, they were like, oh shit, okay. Yeah, they got a kick. Yes, that's the word. They got a kick out of it, bro. And like, that wasn't content I had intended to put out. It was supposed to be that video of me looking at the camera all fucking gloomy or whatever. but then now I captioned it, you know, put it at the top and people read it. I was like, oh, fuck, okay, yeah. And every time, you know, I've gone out a couple of times since then. And when I'm attending things, a couple people will come to me, like maybe there was three over the last couple of days, like, yo, bro, we're going to support Adele as well, you know, but we've got you. And I'm thinking, what? Mm. Oh, then it clicks. I'm like, oh, shit, you saw my shit. You know, so I things like those, bro, like granted, you know, having the algorithm on my side obviously guarantees a wider reach. But, you know, whether people engage with it, you know, like the engagement I've been getting, bro, like with just like that particular post, you know, was very dope, you know, from people who otherwise don't really engage with my shit, you know, or they don't follow me. And then, you know what? I decided, let me put some money behind that thing. You know, I put a budget behind that one on Instagram just so, because like it just, people will just swipe on their story and suddenly they see this guy in brown background and this caption to Adele and suddenly, oh shit, what's this? You know, and then they come back to the profile and they engage. So yeah, man, I mean, I do tap into the paid promo stuff. It's mainly for reach, but it, you know, it has to be stuff that I feel like is just needs to be seen for people to be into it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, you know, fuck the algorithm, bro. Like, fuck bots, fuck all those things. You know, at the end of the day, some of us are humans. You know, I won't speak to everyone because some people are fucking robots, bro, on these Twitter streets, man. Like emotionless and shit. But yeah, man. So yeah, that's really the approach, bro. Just trying to find the human element to all this shit and trying to capitalize on that a bit.
Well, that's, yeah, because that's the thing, like, I try and think about these days, like, you know, how much, you know, does genuine art, like, really resonate and all of that? And, like, it does, but, like, there's so many people creating so much dope shit that, like, no one ever hears, no one ever sees because, you know, YouTube wasn't kind to them. Like, they didn't put a good thumbnail. Like, they didn't title the video the right way. Like, and they're busy vlogging to like 10 people. Meanwhile, they're creating better shit than like, you know, anyone else. And so that's just something that like plays on my mind sometimes. But then at the same time, it does, like, you know, I think of Macho Man Randy Savage with it was Randy Savage with the cream always rises to the crop. The cream always rises to the crop. No, the cream always rises to the top. Like, and Sean. Yeah, so like, I just wonder like how much of that stuff plagues on your mind when you're creating things, you know, like how much do you like worry about like being able to actually get to your audience? Because yeah, like you say, you pay a little bit for reach. But even when I do that and I try to target things well and, like, you know, things grow a little bit, I wonder, like, how many of those people are actually ever going to still see the post then afterwards, you know? Like, they like the page and then still get buried and stuff. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like as creatives, we're always, like, fighting these days, like, to get reach. And, like, I just wonder how much of that is a concern in your mind.
I mean, listen, bro, like, there's so many people in the world, you know, and... like, that's a lot of people. I think it's, in the billions or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that I'd still like to hear my music. And, you know, I feel like,
how do you get them to hear it?
So here's my chat, bro. Like, I mean, I know your reason is that you just don't like it. But, like, for anyone in my industry, bro, like... I personally don't think like you have any excuse to not make an effort when it comes to, you know, trying to get the word out there. I mean, listen, I'm also speaking from my own perspective, and I don't know what other people's reasons for announcing a song on Thursday that they're putting out on Friday. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, who's going to hear, you know, and stuff like that. Like, so like the things that I do, bro, like, I don't do it to make my shit look pretty. I don't do it to stunt on anybody else and, oh, look at my skill set. Look how much smarter and cooler I am. I do it because I need to. And when I say I need to, I am aware of where I stand as an independent artist, as a as a label owner, you know, who doesn't have the funding and the infrastructure and the time in the game that a Universal, a Sony, a Warner have, I have to make as much noise as I can. You know, for me, the more extra the rollout, the better. You know what I mean? Like, I slapped on a fucking Durex logo that so people immediately know what to expect, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, bro, this shit that I'm doing, it's necessary for me. I feel like I have to do it because if I feel like I'm making the best music I can make right now, there's no way the way I roll it out, the way I put it out in the world is going to not reflect that. That is going to upset me, bro. When people's chat, I mean, there's a chip that I've had on my shoulder as of the past 2 years was Balwanster is slept on, you know, because that thing is something that I always make my fault or my responsibility that, okay, cool, I'm slept on because I'm clearly not doing enough, you know, because these days it isn't enough to just be dope, bro. And yeah. I use this word very lightly, you know, it's a dumb one, but, you know, the word clout, you know, granted you, we're aware of how it's used, but the clout that I'm going to refer to is the stuff that is like when someone is so dope and then their reputation translates accordingly, you know, it's like, okay, cool, this person's dope. And we all know that they're dope. So they're not slept on. You know what I mean? And that is always as a result of the effort that comes outside of the studio. Like for me, bro, obviously we've got two facets of our minds, bro. One of my brains is by Luanstead. The other one is normal. So I'm able to kind of switch between the two very easily. I think I might diagnose myself with that split personality shit. I promise you, bro. And I say this in a jokey tone, but I think one day we'll talk off the record and I'll tell you exactly what the fuck is going on. But like just being able to switch off the artist side that kind of maybe wants to just belong in the studio, wants to just create, and then activating the side of me that says, that sees that artist side and says, you deserve so much more than what you're giving. So we're going to make this shit happen. So when we leave that studio and we put on our businessman outfit and go to the music industry, we're going to sell this motherfucker the best way we know how to. And the best way we know how to is to do extensive rollouts because that's going to be on everybody's timeline. So basically what I'm saying, bro, is like all these extra efforts that I make them because if I don't, I'm always going to be slept on. And all this dope music that I've made, that I'm making, I don't ever want people to say, yo, we didn't know he was this dope because I had to switch up my sound completely and do Amapiano 5 years later. And like, guys, did you know Balwanster used to be such a dope rapper? Because I didn't push myself when I was a dope rapper. I thought it was enough just to be dope. So for now, like, you know what? If this is the best fucking music I'm making right now, this is the stuff that's going to get the best fucking push that it can get right now. You know, like I've invested so much money, bro, into this loss. In this coming release, bro. I've shot a music video. I had 3 days of shooting, 3 days of hiring a studio because I didn't plan properly. I didn't know that we needed to split the narrative and the performances over 2 days. All sorts of shit, bro. And I've spent money. I've hosted people. I've done so much, bro. And I didn't flinch, bro. It doesn't feel like I spent a cent. I can be broke right now, bro. But if I've spent it on my shit, I don't feel like I've spent a cent because I know why I'm doing this. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, listen, like, I really feel like musicians, you know, artists specific, like musicians specifically, because, you know, that's me and that's the only place I can speak from right now. I feel like if you're making the greatest music that you feel like you're making right now, that push needs to translate. You know, even these major label budgets, bro, you can see when something's being bought. You know, you can see when something's on your timeline because it's been paid for, you know.
Like, yes.
The artist development isn't there anymore. All sorts of shit, bro. And you can't buy these connections, bro. And, you know, like just to kind of toot my own horn a bit, me like getting my hands dirty in front of everyone, bro, that kind of makes people feel like, okay, cool. This looks interesting. Let's see if he actually moves this fucking steel wall. And then as soon as it moves for like a fucking centimeter, it's like, oh my God, he's doing it. And suddenly people are like, oh, shit, guys, come see this guy. He's doing his own thing. And now this steel wall has orange on it. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, all that shit, bro. So that's just how I feel, bro. Like, these rollouts are necessary. And, you know, granted, I don't want to say I don't care about any other artists. But, you know, it's working for me. And if you're going to be on my timeline watching my moves, great. Watch the moves. if you want to ask questions, if you want to maybe employ Normal to develop something for you, shop. But, you know, I'm not going to be preaching and telling people, oh, this is crap. Or, you know, if I think it's crap, I won't comment on it. You know, I won't be like that rollout snob that I can be when I see people. Hey, bro, ha. You know, sometimes I just see some shit on the timeline. Some people are getting applauded for such, you know, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I'll keep quiet. But then when maybe there's an article written that says, hey, the art of the rollout, and all they talk about is, you know, documentaries, I'm thinking, ah, hey, guys, so that headline is misleading. I'll articulate that. But obviously, in hopes of just, you know, letting them know that, yo, guys, you know, just trying to, I don't want to say I'm a gatekeeper, but, you know, if people are doing, bro, there's some homie who tweeted, listen, I mean, I don't know, everybody has their own thoughts on the whole Drake release. You know, it's very subjective, yeah, like music or whatever. But as far as the rollout, you know, yeah, you know what I mean? But
like, I really, like, at this point, I laugh. Like there's nobody I care about less than Drake, probably. Like, he is so far down the fucking list of artists I care about at this point.
When you said he's so far down, it sounded like you were about to say so far gone. Which is obviously his project.
I know. Okay. Like, he started out all right, you know? Like, yeah, had some bangers. But, still has some bangers, but I'm never going to listen to them. But anyway, as you were saying.
No, I feel you, bro. Yeah. I just feel like, you know, someone came out the other day and saying, oh, Drake has a subpar rollout. And, you know, and that was just trash, you know, for that person to say, because it was just like someone just using their Twitter fingers, because a rollout is the more functional part, the more objective part of a release, where it has actual return of investments and stats you have to look at afterwards. So if Drake now has 10 million more monthly listeners, then that shit worked, as corny as it was with those pregnant emojis. You know, that's the cover itself is a subjective chat. I personally don't like it, but that rollout was successful because it did something functional. So whenever there's
The same time, like, that was also just like so blatant and so like, yeah, I don't know, like, that's like my issue with a lot of like modern day pop art, and it is just pop art, and like it's all wrestling, yeah, like it's all just like gimmick and show. And it's nothing's fucking real, everyone's just playing a character. It's always this new like gimmick, and like, you know, there's lots that you can do with that, but it feels pretty shallow, like at the moment. Like, like, you know, Kanye's rollout, especially to me, like, was one of the things that, like, literally made me quit Twitter. like living through that something that literally made me go, you know what, I'm fucking out. Like, I don't want to, like, be subject to all these opinions, like, and just know about all this stuff. And, like, because I just felt like it was just so blatantly obvious and shallow. And, like, that's the same thing I felt with, like, Drake's, like, cover. So that's just me, like, speaking completely openly and honestly. But that's, like, where I'm at when it comes to a lot of modern art, you know? Like, I feel like things can be so much deeper, but they're just not. It's all just, like, spectacle. Whereas, like, yeah, I do think you, like, consider things maybe even, you know, a bit deeper than Drake, even though you're hopping up the rollout.
Sure. No, without a doubt, bro. I personally think that, you know, all these motherfuckers need to bring their briefs to me, you know. But other than that, man, I mean, I think, I don't know, bro, like, I doubt you'd tell me, but, you know, I don't think I'd ever compromise my artistry, but, you know, like, I feel like even the Durex, you know, thing that I'm doing, you know, it could be a bit, I don't know, you use some words like, I don't know. Like, I do feel like it's very much something I've thought about, but I think for someone who isn't aware of the inner thinking, they could obviously think, oh, you know, pop art or whatever. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, the same way Andy Warhol was doing a lot of pop art shit back in the day, you know, repurposing brands and, you know, showing people how consumable we are or whatever. You know, you could even argue that this whole Durex kind of suggested brand thing
is, I mean, it is,
you know, leaning, like, towards that.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, obviously it's an extension of that. Like, but I'm not like necessarily like criticizing you in the same way that I'm criticizing like Drake and Kanye. But I guess there might be some similarities there within that. You know, you are just referencing, you know, pop culture. But I don't know, like to me, like as I was saying, like their rollouts just kind of felt a bit shallow. And like, I guess yours feels a slightly more sincere. Yeah, I guess I don't need to say slightly more sincere. Like, it does seem more sincere. But like, you do dig your pop art. Like, you do dig that like side of like life. Like, you do dig branding and you understand it. And like, yeah, it's a part of life that like, you know, I conflict with like quite a lot. Like, it's, you know, that's personal to me. Like, and that like, I hate the way like, you know, our brains are constantly hijacked by so many different things. And that, like, we're literally living in the fucking matrix, you know. So those are my personal beefs with things. But, like, I know, like, you do, like, have an absolute fascination with that side of life.
No, no, without a doubt, bro. And I think when we speak back to just, like, being sincere, man, like, there's this line by Joey Badass where he says, if it don't hit my spirit, I don't go near it. And
amen. Know, that's
something I think about a lot. You know, like everything I do, bro, like I do, you know, and sometimes, bro, I feel like I'm the most sensitive person in Johannesburg right now, you know, like I always just feel like that when like, you know, I realize it's something I'll never grow out of, bro, but like, I'm very much mostly emotion, you know, sensitive emotion, and then a bit of water and then a bit of blood and then some flesh and bones, but it's mostly just being sensitive, you know. And I think everything that comes out of the normal camp of Bailwanster is something that's been, you know, cultivated from that sensitivity. So I think even from the beginning of just this conversation, bro, I was like talking to you about all these sexual ideas that I've had, and now it's become a whole release, you know, and this is a realization I came to like only last year in August or September, but now it kind of found its way to be like a song that I'm actually putting out. And, you know, I just went with what I was feeling. You know, I just go with whatever the fuck I'm feeling. I'm actually looking at this condom box that I made right now as I speak to you. And it's like,
are you actually made a condom box?
I made it, bro. I literally bought like Durex and I just kind of stripped it apart, got the dimensions, measured it with my ruler, put it on an Illustrator. And then I printed it, cut it out, folded it. Felt like I was in college again, but it was nice. You know,
that's slightly different. Yeah, like, so that's pretty different to like Drake hiring someone and asking him what his ideas for an album like art is. Like, you know, or like hiring five people and getting them to all pitch their ideas and going, cool, that's the one I like. We're using that as the cover art. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you know, there is a bit more like authenticity. Like, it's, you know, you're literally making shit by fucking hand, and it's stuff you're thinking about deeply and considering and like packaging your art. And like, I guess Kanye probably does put some thought into it. I just think he's going through some things that like I can't relate to. like that's the only way I can really put that, to be kind. But yeah, like, as I'm saying, like, that's what I dig about your stuff, is like, it doesn't feel forced in the same way. It feels more like,
gotcha,
yeah, like a whole, like every, like, because I also like, I do get that side of things of like trying to package things and trying to sell it to people in a way that's more than just the thing. Like, you know, it's like, it's more like you always have an idea that you're trying to sell at the same time.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, these are the guys who are at the forefront of, you know, the music industry. And not that, I guess, you know, they are the eventually the ones who set the standard or set the pace. But, you know, I'll press play, bro. And that's about it. If it's a garbage rollout, I'll just wait for the thing to come out. I don't care. I'll press play and that's about it. If I don't press play again after that, sorry, that's unfortunate. But, you know, at the end of the day, I need to be focused, bro. So I consume music. Like, I'm one of the few artists that I know, actually, bro, who just consumes music, like listens to other artists all fucking day, bro. You know, a lot of my friends, like Zulo, who's my best friend, he doesn't listen to music, bro. He only listens to his stuff. And it's like, bro, what do you mean? Like, you don't like music? Like, I'll wake up in the morning, bro, and I'll just play music that just sets the tone. And it won't be any of mine. It won't even be music that's going to influence me immediately, maybe in like a few years, because it's part of my DNA now. But, you know, like, I'm focused when it comes to making my music, you know, like, and just where I draw my inspiration from now, it's like not so much from other artists. So, I mean, Kanye, you know, he really pushed the envelope for a very long time, up until, I don't know, he just decided, you know what, I'm tired. And it's not like his older stuff, his older work is gone. It's still there, but it's just the newer stuff, can miss me. So, yeah, man, I just kind of now focus on just trying to solve my own problems. You know, like I said, being an independent artist, doing this whole label shit myself, I have my own unique problems that, you know, other artists don't have. So it requires me to think beyond just my artistry. Like, I make sure, bro, like, I never compromise the artistry itself. So I'll have my good year or two or a couple of months making music. I'll never interrupt that process with anything else. I'll make the music finish and then close that room, bro. Once we're done, we don't need to go back into that room because we're done completely. And that's when we activate this marketing stuff, this marketing thinking, this networking, this needing to be present, all this shit, bro. Like I said the other day, bro, what did I say? Something along the lines of for you to promote or push something that you're attached to completely, you need to be detached, you know, similarly, yeah, or even more. Yeah. And just be your biggest fan. So, bro, the things I'm doing it as a fan of my music. You know what I mean? I'm doing it as a fan. And that's the only shit that drives me, because I feel like everybody needs to know how dope this guy is. And I'm going to make sure, as the number one fan, make sure people know all this shit, you know? So that's all these efforts, bro. So I'm really excited, man, just about what's happening this Friday. It's like, it just feels like a birthday, you know. I do feel like a release is like a birth, but you know, this is actually more exciting than my actual birthday, bro. How crazy is that?
No, I mean, that definitely makes sense. Like, you know, you don't get to choose your birthday, and like as you get older, birthdays get worse. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Hey, man, listen, bro. I miss you, man. By the way, I don't know. Like, just talking to you right now, it just kind of pulled at my heartstring a little bit, you know. I don't know. It's weird.
Well, we'll hang out again soon enough. Like, I'm hoping to travel a bit more next year, and yeah, just try and do comedy in different cities. Like, yeah, for me, it's just like I've been thinking a lot about the whole thing of getting people into, you know, through the doors and giving a fuck about the art that I create. Hence, some of the questions. But that's a me thing that I'm going to have to deal with. And I'm just going to take some notes with your rollout, especially with this track that, to the people listening, is coming out today. So go check out Bala Wanster's socials to find everything. What time are you putting this out? You said you're doing it at night.
Yeah. So I've got like a music video that we've kind of created for that. So I've got an actual premiere that I'm trying to execute like at a space where I put up a projector, a screen, nice. And then I just have, you know, anybody who's keen, you know, because I don't want everything to just live on the internet, you know. So I want to have moments I create with these stickers, with this condom box. So there's going to be a premiere. And, you know, I think by the time people hear this, I'll have announced it already. But 7 p.m. tonight. And, you know, we're putting up a projector, possibly in Maboneng. Whoever hits me up first and says, yo, come use our space. But that's what's happening. But we've got a video, it's in a countdown on YouTube. And, you know, I'm going to be dressed in my suit because I am that guy now who is running a business. And yeah, that's going to be exciting, bro. That's what we're doing on Friday, which is today.
Sweet. Well, I mean, it might have been yesterday or a week ago or a year ago, depending on the people are listening. Podcasts are fucking weird with the way that they live. Like, you're having the conversation that you're having on that day, but that's not the conversation that people are listening to, or that is. I don't know. I'm like, I try to get philosophical and I fucked it up, which I guess is a great sign for my comedy career. Yeah, man. Sweet, dude. Thank you so much for your time. This has been such a great chat. And yeah, man, I definitely miss you too. And like I say, like, I am definitely going to make more efforts to be in other places. So I'm definitely going to be near you at some point and we can hang the fuck out. And yeah, we can share some Long Island iced teas.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. That would be cool. That would be fun.
'Cause what up? This is Tom Salamanca, aka Ndaki.
This is T Swag, aka Art Bobby, aka the hottest podcast host in the country, and my sidekick.
Please check out our podcast where we cover a whole lot of challenges that artists encounter dealing with finances. I believe you'll get a whole lot of knowledge if you're an artist of any kind.
Finance for hippies, for artists,
or a normal person trying to get a bit of knowledge of how certain financial matters work.
Exactly.
Better than The Rock and Stone Cold. Better than The Usos. Better than Hardy Boys of Podcasting. DX Generation.
The Brothers of Destruction.
Better than
Rock and Soccer Connection.
For sure.
Check out the Almost Perfect Podcast on all streaming platforms and on YouTube.
War against broke, we fight no white flag.